This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 16th of January, 1963. The title of this lecture is TR0 Lecture. This tape is 45 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Okay, there's a few words on TR0, the 16th of January. St. Hill Special Briefing Course. Well, let's give all those coaches some applause, huh? And let's give the students some applause. Thank you. I don't know if you noticed it, but the upper unit student confront comparison with the newer student confront. Well, it was quite marked, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought it'd be something like that. That's why I chose them up that way. Now, you know the rules about TV. You know, if you've been on TV, you know, it's popularly believed. If you've been on TV, then you're not on TV again. That's normally believed. But actually, that's only if you're canceled before the program. You probably didn't know that part of the rule. A lot of rules about it. They change from week to week. Well, you might as well get used to it, because TV-type training is going into central orgs, and you'll find out it's very beneficial. TR0, the original TR0, was simply to be there and be aware. And that was all there was to it. And in actual fact, apparently people have begun to confront with that definition. See, you don't let them confront with their noses or their big toes or stomachs or something like that. They can always confront with that definition. These are, nevertheless, the definition is still valid, and the original TR0 is still valid. But there's some other things that have been added in on top of it. You can make somebody confront with a professional attitude. And usually you find every here and there that some student's got a real professional attitude that he is confronting with. And you see, it's a confront with. That's the trouble with it. And an auditing attitude and an interested attitude and so forth. These things are all fine as long as they're run out. And the trick in coaching TR0, it all depends on a good coach, is spotting something the student is doing, getting him to be aware of it and run it out. That's an actual fact. The system, all there is to the system of coaching. But of course you can give a student so many flunks that he just caves in. He can't win anyhow and goes into apathy. Now you can give a student so many wins that he never learns how to confront. I mean, you can do this both ways too. It takes a little wisdom in the matter. But what you're actually trying to get him to do is to stand up to the duress of auditing. Let's get off of our basic definitions. Let's get into a little bit of the whys and wheres of TR0. Well, recall one of the upper induct TRs that somebody was trying to teach somebody in an ACC. And it was the one that teaches 8C with violence. You remember that old one, you know? And all of a sudden, the student quit. The student quit and walked out, and an instructor stopped the student and said, "Why, what's the matter?" And very, very grimly and primly, the student said, "PCs never act like that." See, the coach had actually been given this student a bad time, you know. And, well, just people just don't act like that. Well, a couple of years went by, and this student showed up for a retread in the academy or something of the sort, or for some auditing, and came around and had an apology to make on the subject. He had audited an actual PC who had acted much worse. So PCs did act like that. Well, in actual fact, one of the things that is most disturbing to a PC is to have an auditor whose confront is corned up in some way, is a very unnatural confront, and who shatters under an upset in the session. Well, normally these upsets are assignable to TR4, and nearly everybody gives TR4 the medal for auditor upset, don't you see? I mean, the auditor cues and A's and cues and A's. Every time you cue an A, you see, you make the student miss a withhold. I mean, make the PC miss a withhold, see? One cue and A, one missed withhold, see? So therefore, an ARC break gets worse and worse and worse with an auditor cues and A's. Very, very simple mechanism goes on there. PC says, in answer to some questioner in origin, well, I thought a moment ago that you were nulling too fast. And the auditor says, all right, I'll null more slowly. Now, you see, it isn't the actual fact that the auditor has followed the order of the PC in TR4. That's not what is important. What is important is that he has failed to acknowledge an answer to an origin or an auditing demand, you see? He's failed to acknowledge that answer. And with some auditors, you work and work and work and work and work to stop them from queuing and A. It's so bad that the auditor says, in this session, is there anything you suppressed? And the student says, well, I suppressed thinking that you were a bit untidy with your paper. And the auditor says, okay, I'll straighten it up. Well, of course, that's a missed withhold at once. Now, the PC can't get this off, because every time the PC tries to repeat this answer, the auditor starts arguing that he's perfectly willing to tidy up his papers. You get the idea? Now, let's look at why an auditor very often, and some auditors do, take a long time to get up to a point where they never Q&A. And it isn't in actual fact the TR4. It's the TR0 that is shot. This auditor can't stand up to an auditing session with TR0 and is so in that fashion on a sort of an inflow or something, you see, and isn't really there and being aware, but retreats. Anytime anything looks like it's a little bit odd in the session, the auditor retreats. And that's the basic sin. Well, you can see these upper indoc drills. Somebody knocks the student all over the place. The coach knocks the student around, and the student has to stand up to it and retain control of the situation if he can. You know, we can see that. That's all very visible. But those same mechanisms are present in TR0. Exactly those same mechanisms are present. Now, what we've seen in demonstration here is a rather smoothly polished TR0. Two people who have had quite a bit of TR0 run already can be polished further. But there's this additional element, which isn't on those demonstrations, is pushing buttons. And finally, a person will harden into it and then lose the hardening and then find out he can do it, you know? And he'd be able actually to sit there with an auditing presence and have a PC blowing up without getting rattled. PC starts to have an ARC break, the auditor doesn't go into an instant lost TR0. See? TR0 doesn't go up the spout. Now, therefore, TR0 can also, after you led a person forward to getting rid of all the junk, can be stepped up. Can be stepped up. You can start to rough it up. And this is particularly what I wanted to add to this, not talk more about the demonstrations, but to show you that there's an additional step you can use. Now, it requires a considerable perception on the part of the coach in order to step this up accurately. And you had one example of a step up. Now, I was actually stepping it up on Norman Stander when he was the student there. He was blowing up. See, but he settled back down into it and it was okay. But in actual fact, do you see there? You see, he was breaking his confront. Do you see that? Now, you can lead on that type of a gradient to higher and higher step-ups. You get him just fine so he can stand up to that, and then you'd uncork something else. But just look at something they're doing or something that they're incipiently doing and start punching the button. And get the person to explain it, explain how he's doing it, and then he starts to as-is it, don't you see? He becomes aware of it and, in essence, takes over the automaticity of it. And you can keep leading out that way further and further and further, well, until it be a matter of the coach jumping up and poking the chair, you see, at the student to get him to break his confront. You see how, to the degree that that could be stepped up. I've noticed that in the presence of an ARC break, Q&A becomes very, very grim. This auditor never Q's and A's, but in the presence of an ARC break, Q's and A's. And I'm pointing this out to you. The reason he Q's and A is not that his TR4 goes to pieces, but his TR0 goes to pieces. So therefore, there's a great deal that can be said for stepping up what there is there to be confronted. Now, anybody can confront a completely motionless PC. See, anybody can confront a motionless PC. But how about confronting a PC in motion? Well, the first thing you can think of is somebody shaking his hand in front of the student's eyes. The coach shaking his hand in front of the student's eye. And get the student to stop flinching. See, that'd be a very easy gradient on the thing, you know. But how about dodging E-meter cans? Do you realize that in general practice, particularly due to the ARC breaks, which can sometimes come up under routine 212, that I would say if you went 6 months without having a PC throw the cans down, you must be either very, very lucky or have very apathetic PCs. and I'd say once a year, an auditor could certainly expect to get the cans in his chest. Now, you don't want to train an auditor to a point where he doesn't dodge the cans. But you certainly want him trained to the point where the cans do not interrupt his command of the session. See, that his action of dodging doesn't interrupt the command of the session. Now, this gets pretty grim after a while. You see, it's just the sky's the limit. It gets up to one of these Tom and Jerry cartoons, you know. Buildings falling down and holes going through the center of the earth. But the main thing I'm trying to put across is that your gradient is what there is there to confront. And you could add more things to confront and get him to analyze what he was doing. You could actually take an old E-meter can and throw it into his chest, you know, and get him so he would take care of the E-meter can, you see, and still be able to confront the PC. Auditors do very interesting things. Not good auditors, but I've seen very interesting things happen in auditing sessions. I have seen a person go into total silence. This is more common than you would think. PC all of a sudden seems to be in trouble, and the auditor goes into total silence. That is about the grimmest thing that can happen to a PC. That's no auditing with an exclamation point. It's actually worse than Q&A. The PC had just lost his auditor. That is it. Well, now, it normally happens on a freeze. In other words, the auditor freezes, becomes incapable of confronting and just goes into wood. Now, this is a much more insidious type of thing to break than action. So you wouldn't want to specialize in your coaching your TR0 in the fellow blinking, the fellow twitching, the fellow moving, so forth. Don't specialize in that. Let's give at least 50% of our coaching to the fellow going into wood. Do you see what I mean there? As you go up in upper drills, if he's liable to clam up on a PC, you can also make him do it on TR1. Now, it's an odd mechanism, this one of just freezing. This goes into wood. Now, a good coach can recognize the fact that he hasn't got a confronting PC, that he just got a solid piece of granite in front of him. Now remember, that person who thinks that confrontingness is just becoming a solid piece of granite may someday merely stop auditing in the auditing session and just say nothing. And that's just about the grimmest thing that can happen. All right, now your next action on this is an actual flea by the auditor. That's not as bad as a total clam up, but it amounts to the same thing. You see, the worse, frankly, the more motionless or inactive a person is, the worse off he is. But that doesn't mean that the more active he is, the better off he is. You see that? You take the psychiatrist, the psychiatrist. He hasn't got the faintest grip on this. He hasn't a clue about this. This has totally escaped him. He's always trying to put people into apathy so they will look all right. Now, he's totally sold on the idea of insanity is motion. Or as a matter of fact, it's far more often no action at all. See? It's much harder, now hear me now, it's much harder to do something for a very apathetic case than it is an angry one. The tone scale tells you that, of course, and you've known that for a long time. But I'm pointing that out in TR0, that you can very easily slip a cogwheel here. Now, just because the guy is sitting there in a total apathy, think that he's doing TR0. And let only the very apathetic and the very granitesque student get by, see? That's not the case at all. So you might as well add something to it, look alive. Does he look alive? You can add that, you know, be there and be aware. But that awareness, let's color that with the definition of let's have him be alive too, you know, have the blood flowing in his veins. That's an important thing. And actually that one little point is the one which would be most often missed by a coach. He can spot the fellow who goes, see? He can spot the fellow who's going, yeah. He can spot that dead easy, but the guy is going. Didn't spot that, see? Well, it's all right. He's sitting there quietly. See? He's made a psychiatric mistake. And this is a mistake that he's made. And you got to keep pointing that little point up when you're training people. Because it's a natural thing, apparently, to think that something is quiet is safe. Now, of course, the psychiatrist is simply trying to make his patient safe. See, he's operating totally on the third dynamic, and he's trying to protect the third dynamic, you see, from the first. What's bad is the first dynamic. See, that's why you don't easily understand this psychiatrist. Because he's not trying to make anybody any better. He's trying to make the third dynamic safe. So therefore, his, quote, cures are all cures which apparently are supposed to benefit the third dynamic. None of his, quote, cures are ever supposed to benefit the patient. He doesn't even think so. You ask him, have you ever cured anybody? And he will say immediately, yes. But you never ask him probably, what have you cured him of? And he, if he doesn't give you some long imaginary name, that was dreamed up by Kraplin over in Germany. And you get him down to it, he's cured somebody of being in motion. That's what he's cured somebody of, and that's all. So this is very important to point up. This is very important to point up, because you'll find, as you look down a whole row of people who are doing TR0, that a certain number of them have gone to granite and dropped out the bottom and something like this. You want to know what their auditing responses are at that particular time and so forth. And of course, there's zero. They get into a session auditing somebody. Something happens. They go into inaction because they're not confronting. They can't confront. This idea of the total withdrawal, see? Watch it. You could actually put some kind of a meter on the back of the chair to find how hard the student was pressing the back of the chair, and you would get an accurate measurement of how little he was confronting. Because the more weight that goes against the back of the chair, the more he's trying to get out of there, man. Now, this will go into a total apathy of can't get away and can't speak in a situation of duress. It'll go to, actually, that's very low scale. Upper scale is the auditor will actually run away. Flee the session. Get out of there. Now, where good auditing shows up as different than bad auditing is in moments of duress. And somebody will get along beautifully auditing some chipper lady that isn't causing any trouble at all, and he luckily got on the right lines, and he hasn't made any mistakes, and so forth. You look at him, you say, well, he can really audit. He's just doing fine, see? Well, to really know this auditor, you have to see him in a moment of duress. What happens in that moment of duress to his TR0? That's the first thing to go, TR0. He'll start making mistakes, and of course, that's the one thing you mustn't make. Whether he makes the mistake of shutting up, or the mistake of running away, or simply the mistake of bungling the auditing commands, or the mistake of suddenly transferring over to a new list. You got that one. PCARC broke, so must be the wrong list, so we'll abandon it, and then we wonder why day after day thereafter the PC makes no recovery. Well, of course, his ARC broke because the list was not finished. The list was abandoned. But he'll make a wrong judgment, no matter how well he's taught. If his TR0 is terribly bad under duress, he'll make a wrong judgment. So you might say there are two or three TR0s. There's the TR0 of the fellow doing the drill. Let's take that one as the first one. It hasn't anything to do with auditing, had anything to do with anything else. It's something that the instructor or the coach told him to do, so he's doing it. You got that? It's not associated with anything. All right, your next one is the person who clams up and actively can't act. And your next grade up the line is somebody who goes into an obsessive motion as a sort of a Q&A. Take that as three grades of things which you have to cure when you're coaching TR0. And if you're going to do a thorough job, cure all of them. Just take them in sections. Now, this first one that we're doing, which is just sitting there, and confronting, when you add to that confronting in certain ways, you're clearing up the first one. Well, you're curing up the second one, too, when you're doing that. But no, very few drills go into a cure-up of this dispersal in action. But those drills are very easy for a coach to figure out. One of the things is, you know that there are some auditors around who will obsessively laugh. Something goes off the rails or something like that, they will actually laugh. They'll laugh in the wrong places in the session, too, I guarantee you. They've got an incipient laugh, and you can break them up. Well, you just go ahead breaking them up until they don't have to. It's all a system of taking over the automaticity. And you might practice someday just throwing E-meter cans at their chest. See? And see if they can't keep on confronting while ducking. I don't care how you do this. I'm just giving you an action level, you see. Now, one of the ways of doing this is a talking confront. You never heard of this before because it's normally TR1 and 2, but TR1 and 2 are in actual fact simply actions which get a command across to the PC and acknowledge what the PC said. Those are the purposes of those two. So you can have a counting confront. Can the fellow go on counting while you're throwing E-meter cans at his chest? Or does he lose track of his numbers? You see how you could do it. You could actually have a talking confront. He isn't trying to reach anybody with this. You're just using this as an index. Now, there are various things, then, that you could do. But I've given you the three zones that you actually have to cure if you're really going to cure up an auditor of doing something weird because the session goes awry. Now, today, it'd be to our great interest to beef up this one point, to make it stronger, to strengthen it up, and hit it harder. Because let me assure you that auditors are going to get more ARC breaks than ever before. At the same time, they're going to get more rewards than ever before. But they're also going to get more ARC breaks than ever before. So you're going to have to train people to expect ARC breaks and to keep on going. Now, I recently had an ARC break in an auditing session that had me very puzzled. I went on and handled the situation, of course. But I was very interested afterwards that the ARC break had made me think less fast. I was aware of having thought less fast in that ARC break than I ordinarily would have. Was basically just get out of the habit of having ARC breaks. Now, I picked up the ball and kept it rolling, but I was aware of thinking less swiftly and realized that the mechanism involved was I didn't want to confront this because, you see, it was not my intention to make this PC splatter over the ceiling, and this particular PC was splattering over the ceiling. Wasn't my intention. So it was counter to what I was trying to do in the session. So there was a small impulse there not to confront it. You see? So I myself got a good subjective reality on what this is all about. It was a good subjective reality. And I said, now all I have to do is multiply that subjective reality up to a point where I just stopped thinking. You see? And one would have goofed at that point. I didn't goof, but I was aware of the fact of, you know, what the hell am I doing, you know? What's the thing to tell this PC? All that just slowed right on down. What do I do now? It was rather rough because three lists were in question. I was simply trying to straighten out a PC on lists. See? And three lists were in question. I couldn't tell which one of them the PC was ARC breaking on. Because the ARC break suddenly distributed over all three lists. And it just got worse. Well, I wasn't trying to make the PC worse, so my confrontingness dropped. So actually keeping the thing going, I mentally sat back and confronted the situation and picked it up and kept it rolling. But I could see exactly what happens. I see somebody who's got a PC. Everything has been, because these R212 ARC breaks are sudden, man. They can be sudden and catastrophic when you run into them, and apparently inexplicable. And you're running along and everything's fine, and in the best of all possible worlds, you are nulling the best of all possible lists, and you look up and you say to the PC, all right, we've got your item now. It is Willow Wand. And watch the PC carefully, and everything seems to be all right, you know. And the PC even has a bit of a cognition, and we're being very smug about everything, and aren't we good? And we pick up our pencil to finish off our auditor's report, and there come the e-meter cats. What the hell? You know? What happened? I just picked the wrong item. You should go on listing a little bit further. That's the motto. And the faster you say, all right, that's not your item, thank you very much. Now we're going to list a little bit further and push the auditor's report out from underneath your paw and push the list under it and start listing. Your PC will start listing instantly. All right, that or for other reasons, these ARC breaks rather take you aback because they're quite violent. The slow-burning ARC break, the corroding type of all of this, would hit somebody who tended to go numb in a most horrible way. The corroding type of ARC break is that you have successfully listed something, everything was fine, and the next session, you have trouble getting the PC into session, and the PC is full of despair, and it's all just despair and hopelessness, and you try to spot where this began, you know, and you can't quite spot where it began, but there's the PC being rather critically hopeless, if you get the idea. And you didn't intend to do this, so your intention is off. You confront, then, bow, there it goes, right there. So TR0 should get a lot of attention from us in academies. If we're going to take HPA students and get them to do R212, then we got to beef up TR0. That's the conclusion I've come to on it. And we treat these people as though they fall into all three of these grades. You see? We treat them as though they'll go into a total wooden nowhere, and that they'll flee, and that they will go into violent motion. Treat them in all three grades, see where they break up, and keep cracking the buttons until they all of a sudden are able to pull through it. It's a sort of an upper induct TR0. I don't care what you do with the PC. As long as you give them enough wins, I mean, as students, as long as you keep them enough wins to keep them going. That's how many wins you give one. You don't ever give them as many as they earn. That would be too reasonable. Just give them enough to keep them going. And don't give them so many that they think they can do it. Because the actual fact is they have to come to the independent opinion that they can do it. How much and how long should you run TR0? Well, actually, until the person, while doing all other actions and TRs, can keep up his TR0. And where he can keep it up under things going wrong and duress. Keep up his TR0 with Kipling's If. You know, if you can keep your head when all PCs about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. So we actually are moving up into a higher grade requirement, and I think it would be greatly to our interests in all courses that you teach, to the interests of PCs and protection of things, to give a higher level of expectancy. Now we know what 212 is liable to uncork in our faces. Well, all right, let's beef up the training drills to match it. and we'll lose less PCs that way. They won't be going out dropping off the bridge before somebody hears about it, you know? Funny part of it is the PC usually doesn't fall off the bridge. We had an interesting... He usually comes back for more auditing, even when he saw ARC broke. But the funny part of it is I had a PC today. I had a PC today that was in an ARC break that was just doing a total suppress. I was doing a big suppress and was in violent argument with a wrong item. And so forth. Our little Diana, she's 10. And very amusing, Susie brought her down to get the item checked, mainly so that I could see that a PC at 10 would ARC break just as hard on a wrong item as a PC at 50. I tried to get her to treat it as an op term and tried to get the rock slam to turn on and that sort of thing. And for her, she had some pretty nasty things to say about the item and the whole thing. She didn't want that item. See? It was the wrong item on the list. Rock slamming item. It was very interesting to watch this and also to watch the complete brighten up that occurred the moment I said, well, all right, that's not your item. They brightened right up and was very pleased, went right back upstairs and went on listing and so forth. That was it. It was interesting that you get the same pattern response. The list was not quite long enough to have the right item on it. Well, now, if this is going to happen, invariably and inevitably, all you've got to do is flub a little bit or be auditing a PC who already has pre-T problems from some other quarter or was under a little stress or duress, make an accidental Q&A right at the exact moment. They blow their skulls all over the ceiling. Well, it's very interesting then. TR0 ought to be pretty good. Because bad TR0 will lead to immediate Q&A. It leads to a lack of comprehension of what is going on. Main thing it leads to. And it leads to a PC who is getting no auditing. And it might even lead to an auditor flying down the hall. Now, actually, it's a big win for an auditor sometimes when they confront an ARC break and a lot of insults from the PC and all that sort of thing, to find out they have gotten through it, even though the tears were coming out of their own eyes and they were terribly upset, they were mis-emotional about the whole thing, that they somehow or another brought it off. They do one or two of those, and they get lots of confidence on it. Well, why should they have to gain all that confidence in the session? Now, it actually takes a certain amount of time to get R212 down. Actually takes a certain amount of time. The experience of delivery of routine 212 is considerably desirable. You get so that you know more and more about it and feel more and more confident of what you're doing and so forth, but it takes a while. Now, if a person, while learning 212, is also learning his TRs, you're liable to have quite a mess on your hands. Now, you can have somebody under guidance auditing 210 in a co-audit unit or something like that, but they're under such stringent guidance that somebody's there to pick them up at their drop of the ball. They're actually auditing with very little responsibility, and frankly, they learn only that the technique works or is violent. But before they can independently run 212 and so forth, why, they ought to have their TRs. And those TRs ought to be matched up to running such a process. And that means that what's expected of TR0 has to be upgraded. Now, I suppose that part of the training is you get a tape recorder, we're talking about TR1 now, you see, and you go down to the zoo and throw rocks at the lion until he gets a bit mad or something like that, or go down on Sunday when he's just seen too many people. And get a darn good recording of all of this, don't you see? And then put it on a high-volume, hi-fi system and have the student stand there putting intention into the middle of the speaker. You see that? You get so that you could insert the auditing command into the PC's skull and get him to comply with it, regardless of the volume of sound you were being greeted with. You see, that's another barrier that you find necessary. But if you don't handle 212, if you don't handle the ARC break, if you don't keep on doing the right action, if you don't carry on with it, boy, you've got somebody who's splattered all over the room, and it just isn't necessary for a PC to get that splattered. Actually, the splattering is in direct proportion to the confront of the auditor. It wouldn't be a very bad ARC break if it hadn't been accompanied by a no confront of the situation, a Q&A, don't you see, a drop the ball all over the place. Well, each one of these auditor flubs throws an actual auditing reason for an ARC break in on top of the basic reason for the ARC break, and they don't just wrap it around the telephone pole once, you see. They practically put it in around the telephone pole braided. There it goes. And the degree, then, of the ARC break the PC will have on routine 212 is directly proportional to the TRs of the auditor. You see that? You'll see it borne out. If you haven't noticed it up to this time, why, you'll probably see it around. You'll certainly see it around training somebody in an academy with this or something like that. You'll notice that somebody's TRs are very bad and they have much worse ARC breaks. Their PC's ARC break worse. Any PC will ARC break on wrong items and that sort of thing. And of course, the swiftness with which the cause of the ARC break is being handled is only part of it. In actual fact, a Q&A on top of the bad routine 2 flub, the error, see, and then a mistake on top of that, you see, and blah, and then a decision on the part of the auditor to go back and relist where do cats come from, which was 8 years ago that it was run. You see. Blah! All it is an incomplete list and it needed another page or something like this, don't you see? Easily remediable, but the auditor is liable to run all the way down to the earliest beginnings of the case, you see, rather than simply complete the list that was right in front of him. His judgment goes. So the judgment of the auditor must be good in this particular spot, and if his TRs are bad, his judgment's going to be bad. But you see what you're dealing with. I've often noticed that a perfect auditor, as long as everything was all right. Somebody's a perfect auditor as long as everything was all right. But the moment the least little thing went wrong, that auditor suddenly became one of the world's worst auditors, to a point of just sitting there, finding the PC, you know, shake him, you know. Tell him he needs a session. Well, now, those are the modern purposes of TR0, and I think that all of your training in this direction couldn't be better than matched up against the necessities of Routine 2 at this particular time, because it'll make Routine 2 that much easier on one and all, including the auditor. If his TRs are almost perfect, you know you never have to use them. It's something like the fellow who walks out every night. He's got a gun, and he never runs into any trouble. One night he doesn't have a gun, and everybody jumps him. See, this kind of an action. If his TRs are weak, why, he's got no gun. But he'll get very severe ARC breaks, and you can trace back the PC, the severely ARC-breaking PC, to the non-confront and the Q&A and the out TRs in general of the auditor. The worse these TRs are, the harder the PC will ARC-break, and the first that goes out is TR0. Okay? Thank you very much. Good night.